Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi everybody, this is Adam here, just dropping in real quick to tell you that we are doing another live show on the 7th of October at Comedy Republic in Melbourne. If you want to come along, you can book tickets right now at comedyrepublic.com.au or at the link that is in the episode description here. In this episode, well, why hide it in a different episode? It's in this episode's episode description. If you've been before, then you know they're fun. If you've not been before, then come have some fun. Either way, tickets, like I say, available now for a live show on the 7th of October, which is the day before PAX. Go to comedyrepublic.com.au or have a look for the link. Or go to our socials. Do that anyway. And enjoy this episode. Sorry for all the commands right up here, but you get it.
Good morning, video games. Welcome to Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always...
Ben Vanell here. It's good to be here, Tommy. Joined, as always, by a man on his watch.
I was turning it onto silent, so the implication that I was in some way rude by being on my watch is actually egg on your face.
Not on my watch.
Not on my watch. This watch won't say a damn thing for the following roughly hour.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's been, Siri's been triggering on your watch the pretty regularly podcast.
To update the watch, right, you had to reset the watch because if you had anything on it, it would have not enough space to update itself.
Right.
It's a crazy world we live in. Mm-hmm. It used to just be that you went and you found a strange man who lived in the woods and he built you a magic watch.
Yeah. Right.
But now you got to delete the stuff on your magic watch.
You got to update the watch every couple of years. I bought an Apple Watch maybe 3 or 4 years ago and I hardly ever use it now because the battery on it it barely ever lasts a full day.
Really?
Which for a watch is a fucking pain in the ass.
Yes. Yeah. Having a watch that sits on your wrist not being able to tell you the time, it's like a curse.
Yeah.
It's like someone has given you an ironic Sisyphus thing have to deal with.
Monkey's paw witch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. You can have a monkey's paw, but it won't be magic. Yeah, yuck.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I would love to buy just like a regular, not a smartwatch, that just the design of it looks like the Apple Watch. That's the only reason I bought one in the first place. Oh. I like the aesthetics of it. It's very simple. It's very clean design.
You want a rectangle.
Yeah, I just want a black rectangle on my wrist. And when I got it, I don't know if you've had this, Adam, but you get so much fucking flack for having an Apple Watch. Maybe that's died down a bit
from
now.
From this fucking guy over here telling me I'm looking at my watch.
Yeah.
The people would be like, oh, you think you're so cool with your, oh, yeah, you've got the new Apple Watch. It was like, I just kind of like how it looks. Like, I don't, you know, I didn't get it to be in any way like an Apple loyalist or anything like that. So I want a watch that has the exact same aesthetic design but is just digital. Isn't like has a watch battery in it.
Yeah.
Can't do any still other a watch. Stuff.
Okay. I mean if you're
a watch, but you know, I don't want to have to charge it every 6 hours.
I was imagining a chunk of plastic with watch bands on it.
Which is what you kinda have now, I guess. Yeah. If it keeps running out of battery. Why don't you take it open? Chuck in a little old-fashioned watch in there. It surely is as simple as that.
Chuck it in.
And then seal it back up with a little bit of blue tack.
Mod my Apple Watch.
Yeah, get it
chipped. Or I could just paint, you know, 715 on it. You know it's going to be right twice a day. Yeah. That's all I need.
Three times on one of those times when daylight savings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Maybe just once.
No, I think it'd need to be...
If it's that daylight savings that skips forward. No, it'd need to be like
2 a.m. or something like that. Because it changes at 2 or 3?
Something like
doesn't
that.
Doesn't it?
3 goes back to 2 or 2 leaps forward to 3.
Right.
30 days has September, April, June and November. All the rest have 31 except for February alone, which has 28 days clear, 29 each leap year.
Yep. And he's reading this off the face of his watch.
Yeah, someone That's just how... messaged me.
It's very, very...
You owe me money. It's June.
Reveals a lot about your friendship group outside of us. That you got mercilessly teased for your Apple Watch. Because I got one, I think, a little bit after you.
Yep.
And The most comments I got about it were like when I was paying for something with it and people were like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's it. No one else ever said anything about it.
This wasn't my friendship group. This was strangers. This was like,
really? People,
yeah, a girl came up to me in a bar and just like relentlessly started harassing me about having an Apple Watch.
I've got a book to lend you. It's called The Game. And I think you'll learn a thing or two about what was going on there, Thomas.
Yeah, I project alpha vibes, so no one ever insulted my Apple Watch.
The watch is really handy for keeping track of shit. I have a bad memory.
Right.
More than just the time, it'll tell me the reminders. I currently have four overdue, for example.
Fuck.
And I've got to click on it to go in and see what they are. And, you know, I'll forget to do that. I'll go, oh, that seems bad. I'll look at that later.
I don't wear mine anymore because I used to wear it for the activity tracking, like the exercise stuff.
Mm.
I stopped exercising. Well, I did it on the way to and from work.
Right.
I was like, oh, great. I hit, you know, half an hour on the way there. But now it's like, well, I work from home. I know exactly when I'm exercising because I have to consciously leave my house to do it.
Never.
And I don't have issues with remembering appointments.
I was doing the activity stuff for a little bit recently and I had it, the thing where you link it up with friends, so it like automatically, you know, you add friends on the activity app.
Yeah, but what is that? You just
it's
see
just
your,
like when
your
you finish, yeah, when you finish doing an exercise, it'll like notify all your friends like, hey, this is, you know, how long I exercise for and this is what I've done and everything.
That would be a nightmare.
Yeah.
Well, especially it kind of was good. It's like me and a friend who do the same gym stuff, so it's like it's kind of a good way of motivating you. You get like a bit of competition going or whatever. Right. But then one time I started going on a run, the battery died like a minute or two into the run and I think it turned off, but then it sent the result to all my friends. So it's just like, here he goes, he's at a little 2 minute run and then just given up.
Interesting that you try to justify this in two different places, once to the friend and once in public to make it seem real.
Yes, I actually ran for about 8 hours that day and broke the land speed record. Yeah, it's a real shame that I didn't have the watch on.
It sucks because normally all my friends who I have on the app, like Usain Bolt and everyone, are really embarrassed.
My hot Canadian girlfriend who you guys haven't met because she doesn't live in the country. And she doesn't really like social media, so there's no pictures of her online.
Right.
I tried to use the same excuse when I came too fast. It did not fly.
Normally, Usain Bolt is really embarrassed by this.
We are, however, talking on our video games podcast right now. So should we start talking about video games?
You can get games on the Apple Watch. Not good ones. I think you can.
I've never tried.
You can, I think. I have no proof.
Yeah, I'd swear there'd be like little fucking, I don't know, mini, nothing good or substantial.
I think there might not be.
Yeah.
I don't know why I think, maybe there is one or two, but I feel like when I got the watch, I was like, here we go, a new platform for me to game upon.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
People won't even know I'm gaming.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll think I'm reading my emails.
I'm just looking at the time for half an hour.
Yeah. Damn, this guy really seems to suck at the time. He's getting frustrated. But I don't know if there are. I'll tell you where there are a lot of fucking games, though.
Yeah.
You'll be able to attest to this, Tommy.
Mm.
On a Windows-based personal computer.
Hell yes.
Truth or a lie?
Can't deny it.
I love that catchphrase of yours, Tommy.
Hell yes. And it's me poking through the like the end of the Looney Tunes cartoons thing. Like, what would you call that? The big
like
they're circular curtains almost, aren't they?
It's like a frame.
Almost
like a Looney Tunes like hero frame.
Mm. That is interesting that they just straight up invented that. Like there was no basis for that. That's
not
like
a vaudeville thing. I think they used to burst through a little piece of paper at the end and be like, "That's all, folks." I don't know if they said that specifically, but I think a lot of stuff came from vaudeville.
Wasn't vaudeville they don't speak?
No. Vaudeville was just olden days entertainment.
Yeah, before speech.
But before they invented the talkies.
People talking. I just assumed no one talked. No one bothered to speak if there wasn't a way of recording it.
Vaudeville was all like, hey, so I walk down the street and take my wife, please.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of that. It was a lot of singing, dancing, and doing comedy.
It's Looney Tunes is vaudeville.
Yeah, it is. That's why it's so good.
Bugs Bunny dresses up. You get it.
Yeah. Classic.
If you want to know more about the history of vaudeville, you could look at some information using a Windows-based computer.
Specifically, Windows has the license to information about vaudeville.
Yeah. Yeah.
They acquired Bethesda and they acquired the concept of the history of vaudeville.
Yeah, they acquired Henny Youngman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I've moved house recently and have a bit more space, bought a personal computer.
Mm.
Big shout out to a listener of the podcast, Rob, who built it for me.
Built mine as well.
Yeah. You hooked me up with him, gave me a great deal on it,
mm-hmm.
Been very pleasant to deal with.
Yeah.
When he told me where he lived, and he said it was kind of the next suburb over from my old house. He was like, this is how convenient it's going to be. You can come and pick it up from me. And then when I actually came to pick it up, he doesn't live in that suburb. He lives in the next suburb over that I think maybe he lied to me originally about where he lives, because the suburb that he does live in rhymes with his surname. And I think maybe he was deliberately withholding that from me so that I wouldn't go, wait, you're Rob X from X?
Like, yeah. Rob Jones, who lives in Bones.
Yeah,
exactly.
He lives in those lines, yeah.
There's like 99% of the letters are the same. It's not just rhymes, it's almost the letter that's different,
yeah. I don't want to blow up his spot by giving out his location and surname. But
thanks to Rob Smelbin.
Yeah. Rob Dupork, who lives in Calcutta.
Right, yeah.
Rob Smet on Wellington. But yeah, shout out to him.
Yeah.
He got it all done very quickly. Went around to his house and picked it up. He's been great on the tech support line. Some of the questions he's received from me include, I think you've not given me a power cord, and it was in a box that I hadn't looked in yet. Then the follow-up call, how much longer have we got left on the timer? The follow-up question of, I can't get the display working, and I had the cable plugged into the wrong port on the back of the PC.
I'm going to kill myself.
And then, that's basically it.
Okay.
He then called me to make sure that, I think there's some weird default with the monitor where the default is that it sets it at the refresh rate at 60 hertz and not 144.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
he just called me out to make sure I had that going correctly, did not.
Bring, 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 bring. Bring, 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 bring.
Oh, hello?
Oh, hi. Tommy, is that you?
Yes.
Oh, hi, it's Rob Smelbin here. Just wanted to let you know with the computer, one thing I didn't tell you, sometimes it's a Windows thing, but it'll look like the webcam is on. Did you say you set it up in your bedroom?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yep.
The webcam will look like it's on, right, and you'll hear like a recording noise of an old-fashioned VCR that will then pop out a tape. And that will go into a little robot that mails it to me.
Yeah. Wow. I'm out of my depth here. I don't know anything about graphics cards or anything like that.
Don't worry about it. It's NVIDIA.
Yep.
Yeah. If you had a Radeon card, it wouldn't happen.
Okay,
but
right.
they can't do ray tracing.
Bring, 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 bring.
Okay, sorry. I'm getting another call.
Okay.
I think I'm getting another call.
Oh, wait,
this is for the group. I'm dialing into the group chat.
Oh, hang on. I'll hit *3 to patch you in.
Hey, Rob Smelbin.
How did you know I'd be on this call?
It's me, Ben. Just checking that you've set up my spy cam in Tommy's bedroom so I can watch him fuck.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to tell you, there's a spy cam on there as well. What I was describing was real, and Ben's thing is the joke.
Right. Okay. So then there's the spy. Ben's
ring,
got
ring,
the spy cam.
Ring, ring.
Oh, a fourth. Hello.
Ring, ring. Hello. This is the sketch police.
We actually are also the awards body. We're giving you best sketch ever.
Okay, Rob, I just have one final question.
Ring, 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 ring.
Fifth caller, you're on the air.
No, we got disconnected. This is Rob again.
Oh, okay.
What did you want to ask?
Sure, yeah. When I put my dick in the headphone port, it is just rattling around in there, barely touching the sides. Can I do anything about that?
I've heard Kegels can help. Yeah, so that's very nice that he made you that.
Yeah.
Great guy. And I believe he referred to it to me as a side hustle.
Yeah.
And then he said he's built about 500 of these things.
Yeah.
Which suggests that's getting perilously close to being a main hustle,
no,
if you ask me.
If there's anything you can learn from me, it's that you can have big sides.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
I mean, I guess I've had, I've had more than 500 wanks, and I wouldn't call that my full-time profession.
It's just
a side thing.
It's a passion.
Yeah, hobby.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes it's dispassionate, but like...
Sometimes just can't sleep.
Medical.
Out of obligation.
Have
you ever done a medical one?
A medical one?
Yeah, I've done...
There's no such thing. Ring, 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 ring. Shut up. All right. The world of PC gaming,
mm-hmm,
yeah,
is a world that you're new to, right?
It is.
Brand new, never... Didn't you have a PC when you were like a kid?
Yeah, we had, just as our home computer.
Yeah,
and I played a couple of games on that,
okay,
for sure. Like,
okay.
I played Sam & Max and
right,
mostly just LucasArts stuff. For some reason, when we bought the computer, this was at a time in my life that there was like maybe a 2-year period where my dad was the most advanced tech person in the family, purely just because he knew someone at work that could help him out.
And now it's Tommy who has to call tech support to open a cardboard box.
To plug in his monitor.
Then I turned 10 and rapidly eclipsed dad in terms of knowing anything that was going on with the computer. But for some reason, when we bought it, it came packaged in with a copy of the RoboCop video game, which I do not know why we got that for free, specifically when dad said, oh, you know, this will be good for my young family to play around on.
They used to chuck weird shit in with. They still do that if you buy a graphics card. And I guess a graphics card makes sense to come with a game. But, you know, you'll get that sort of shit plenty.
Get me freeware. Copies of games on floppy disks and the like. But yeah, apart from that,
so you've been out since the floppy disk days.
Yeah, basically. Wow. I had a copy of the Roger Rabbit game that came on the old B discs, the really, really big ones, and there were 15 of them to install it. Just this heavy box lugging home with that. But look, let's get into the PC stuff maybe a bit later on the ep, because we got a couple of other things to talk about.
Well, should we talk about a game that I played on the PC?
Yeah, and that could be, let's talk about that, because it was sort of the thing that tipped me over into going, yes, I should upgrade my hardware and get a PC.
Right.
We forgot to talk about it last week after being shown off at E3. They dropped I didn't realize this at the time, but a timed demo of Sable that you can now no longer get. You can only get it for like a few days or something like that.
I don't think you can get it through Game Pass or the Microsoft Store. Maybe Steam?
But I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe I think it's just, yeah, it was a weekend.
I think it's like a timed exclusive Microsoft thing.
Right. I think it was like the Resident Evil one where it was just, I mean, they had a very short window, those Resident Evil 8 demos, but I think it's of that vein.
Yes.
And I played it on Steam. I did download it through Steam.
Oh, right. Okay.
Not Game Pass.
So I played it on my Xbox, which is an Xbox One. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so this game's been, feels like it's been being shown off for quite a while now.
Yeah.
Sort of cel-shaded-y kind of, how would you describe it? Desert sort of apocalyptic
journey-looking
wasteland journey-ish.
Journey. Cel-shaded kind of thing.
More kind of objective-based than, I think they've been pretty keen to distance themselves from Journey, even though it
shouldn't
is
have made it look
clearly,
like it then.
Clearly a very big touchstone for them.
It's like, and in very superficial ways, sort of like Breath of the Wild crossed with Journey, crossed with something else as well. Right. I don't know quite what. No Man's Sky is what the interfaces and the sort of vague overarching mythology, emphasis on the vagueness was felt a bit No Man's Sky-ish to me.
Okay, so I missed out on this demo.
Right.
I didn't get to it in time and it died before I could even say my goodbyes.
Brutal.
But you both played this.
Yep.
And, yeah, the thing that you said, Tommy, was that on the Xbox One S, I guess, is what you have.
Yep.
It ran poorly. It's out in September, but it was running poorly in this demo.
It was. It definitely, I think I had talked to Rob already and he had, like, given me a quote and I was like, okay, I'm pretty sure I'm in. Just let me.
Shagadelic, baby, was the was the quote.
I'm in.
Yeah.
I said, let me sleep on it and just kind of, you know, really get my head around.
Sleep on
it,
that'll bloody hurt your back. All those sharp edges.
Trying to think if you could find a way to make it not hurt to sleep on.
Pillow.
No. On top of, I don't know.
Curl
and then
up.
You're like, you know, you're arching your back.
Well, are you talking an ATX case here? What are you talking?
All the lights going off inside it. Yeah. Your fucking eye mask. But in kind of taking a night to think about it, I played that Sable demo and I was like, you know what? I'm loving what I'm playing in this game. I've been really excited for this game the whole time. The demo just intensified that for me, but it was running pretty clunkily on that Xbox One and it was like, and also like the new Forza game I'm really excited for, and it was like, you know what? Why bother upgrading to an Xbox Series X when they're also like incredibly hard to find at the moment. Mm-hmm. That was the kind of the thing that pushed me over was like, you know what? There is just enough stuff coming out for Microsoft platforms that I'm interested in getting. I'm in, and if it means that I can run this stuff like properly, that was kind of the thing that pushed me over. Because it's very simplistic design, the game Sable, but I think it's one of those things that what's actually going on under the hood is a lot more complex than the graphics would make it look, because it was sort of stuttering and hitching up a little bit for me as I was walking around, which was really taking me out of it, which is a shame because I really loved everything else about the demo.
Yeah, so it's basically it is sort of like a Breath of the Wild or something like that, where you explore this beautiful, interesting, aesthetically, you know, drawn world.
Yep.
Looking around, searching around, unlocking things, seeing visions and, you know, getting new technology and abilities and stuff. Mm-hmm. No combat. It also didn't run that great on PC.
Wow.
So I've got a PC that is, I think it's got like 12 gig of RAM. It's got a good processor. I recently got a 3060 graphics card.
I think it'd be 16 or 8 or 32.
It's 12.
Of RAM?
Yeah.
That's weird.
I didn't build it.
Okay. 12 is a weird number. I'm going to call Tommy's dad and check on that.
Rob, you've got a lot to answer for.
But I think the issues with the frame rate and stuttering and stuff are down to the fact that it's not finished yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had a lot of, like, even menus would load really choppily and stuff like that. Occasionally, it would run perfectly. And the physics of it was very impressive in certain areas, the bike especially.
Yeah,
the physics of that bike, it's so smooth. There's a bit of momentum to it, and the like smoke clouds.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
So you're a little, in the demo at least, you're this girl, you're in this like little village, and it's basically a gliding ceremony where it's like, finally time for you to go and get this ability that lets us do this. Here's a shitty old bike that you can borrow to get over there.
Yep.
Now that you've got your gliding ability, you're allowed to have your own great souped up bike, but the guy who was building it for you has lost the parts or whatever, so you basically get these three markers on the map where it's like, go here and get this bit, go here and get this bit. And even just riding around in the like sort of shitty little bike that you're given as a consolation, it feels great.
Yeah,
it looks great, the smoke billowing out, and it gave me that like thrust to be like, oh yeah, when you get all these parts and you have like a proper bike that kind of goes a bit fast and you can really soar around this landscape, it'll be this game will be so fun.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's very like fetch questy in the beginning, but the whole tone and atmosphere and aesthetic, and especially the music. So a big part of this game is that the musician Japanese Breakfast has done all the music for this. She's written a song for it, which she performed at E3. Mm. And having an actual like really good, like kind of known indie musician doing the score for this. It's all the music I just loved in this demo.
Yep.
The whole atmosphere and everything it's going for, I can see myself really getting lost in it. But yeah, I agree. Like I think it's, and that's probably why they just made it a timed demo. Like you can only get it for a few days because they know that it's not quite running.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to just have it sitting there for like up until the day of release and potentially putting people off. Like the diehards are the ones that are going to go in day one and probably be prepared to be a bit more forgiving because it's not out for another, 3 months?
Yeah.
3.5 months?
Yep.
Yeah.
Because they've got some like effects on the main character where they're deliberately running at like a lower frame rate, right? Like Spider-Man is what I've read about it, like Into the Spider-Verse.
I think, when you run, it's a deliberately like low,
kind of chunky
animation. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Because you run the game at 60 frames per second.
Yeah.
Like you'd make like it, which I think I had to switch on. I think defaulted to 30 even on PC and I had to switch it on, which did help. It made everything a bit more fluid. I don't know if I noticed it being purposefully choppy or slowed
just
down.
Specifically in her running, I think when you're on the bike and when you move the camera around, it's smooth, but it's a bit of that effect. Like I don't know if you ever got the Spider-Verse suit that is in the Spider-Man game and it basically makes it so that it's like only every third frame of animation.
Yeah,
it's not like low frame rate, but it is just like a deliberately kind of.
Well, I think it's like you've only got 18 frames or whatever of animation happening, but they're still moving at the same speed.
Yes,
it's just like in like a fighting game, how it'll pause for a second when you connect.
Yeah,
that
right.
sort of thing. It's just a stylistic
it's just
thing.
The key. It's just the keyframes instead of like having the in between stuff as well.
Yeah. But there's the way that it is purposefully made to look has some issues with it. Like I love the style. Like the style of it is great, but I think the execution, running in motion, the fluidity of it is a little odd because like the lines are sort of a bit jagged and I don't know.
When it's a very simplistic aesthetic, and you kind of it kind of makes it harder to cop it not running well.
Mm.
I think it, you know, the Link's Awakening remake, which people had a lot of problems with because it was, you know, it would run so choppily at times. But you look at it and it's like, this is like a little toy box.
Yeah.
Why the fuck can't this run properly?
Right.
And it was just something in the back end with the way that it was all like lit or designed that was just causing those errors.
Mm.
And I think it's the same thing with this. If something is running at its absolute, you know, maximum high end,
mm-hmm.
and you're getting a bit of stutter, you can sort of forgive it because it's like, okay, well, this game's really going for it.
Right.
So it's okay that it's running at 30 frames and maybe not always getting there. But yeah, something like this that's just a very simple palette.
Mm.
So, you know, you look at it at any one time, there's just like four blocks that just have four primary colors in them. And it's like, why can't this run so smoothly?
Yeah, it's, I don't know if it's because the sort of the outlines of each element are very thin and precise.
Yes.
So it's, it looks fantastic in still shots.
Yeah.
Like it looks like a graphic novel, like a really interesting artistic thing.
Mm.
It looks like if Borderlands wasn't a cunt.
Yeah, totally. If Borderlands was a nice, chill person. Who,
Borderlands is like the Joker and Sable is like a guy who thinks the Joker's kind of a good character.
Sure.
But he's like, yeah, I don't mind it and I don't hate anyone who likes a Joker, but I'm not devouring every piece of media. The best possible type of person you can be.
Yeah, it's... I mean, they've been working on this game for a very, very long time, right?
Yeah,
so I imagine a lot of that is just trying to get this kind of style to work properly. And yeah, I have faith that they'll work it out by the time of release.
Yeah.
And if they do, like... I'm all in. I think it's going to be great.
I think that even if it runs how it ran for the demo, but it had interesting story beats and fun new areas and cool mechanics and puzzles and stuff.
Yep.
I think I'd still be fine with it because it's like it is such an interesting and specific and unique aesthetic and vision and like I love something happens sort of very, very early on. It's not like a story beat or anything. It's just a description of this power that you get.
Right.
It feels like, you know, essentially like, you know, you go through puberty or you hit maturity or whatever, you get this gliding thing.
Mm.
And the key to it is that it fades as you age. And I was like, I was thinking like, oh, that as a theme behind a story could be like a devastating, you know, like story of aging.
Like those ringtones you can buy that only young people can hear.
Yes, exactly.
The annoying mosquito. Play it to annoy your classmates, but the teacher will never know.
Exactly.
Yeah. And if you're
that crazy frog.
If you're a teacher and you can't hear it and everyone's laughing around you, you're like, oh, I'm old now.
Yeah.
And that would be devastating. So yeah,
I think the world.
What they're doing with
the boss in this game is a ringtone.
That could be cool. That could be, you know, along the lines of a Journey or a Kentucky Route Zero where it explores a great theme through simplistic gameplay. Could be cool.
And even if all I do is walk around and just listen to this great score through the whole thing, the music was really, really fantastic in the demo. So, looking forward to playing it.
Yeah, well.
Hope it. Mm. Yeah, I agree with you. It wouldn't be a deal breaker for me, but I, for the sake of like the immersion of it, because that it really, especially on the Xbox, the frame rates were like really hitching up to like, you know, about 10 or so. Like especially when I got on the bike and little transition areas. So yeah, I hope for the sake of the immersion of it, it's cleaned up. But yeah, if you missed out on it,
sucked in.
We're here to tell you it's looking good.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, it'll look real good on your... do you want to talk about your computer now? Are you satisfied?
Let's get golf out of the way.
All right.
You reckon you want to... Do you want to dip in the middle and end on a high note?
I think so. Sure.
Yeah, that's probably.
That's better for listening,
Because we've all played Mario Golf Super Rush.
Yes, we have.
I think all of us were looking forward to playing this.
I was hugely looking forward to it.
The preview kind of videos that Nintendo put out of especially the Rush mode, which was like a blend of kind of Mario Kart and golf.
Yeah.
It appeared to be, yes.
Yep.
It seemed like a cool twist on it and Mario Tennis. I liked the Mario Tennis game on the Switch. I got a bit sick of it after a while, but the actual tennis was fun. So
yes, I really didn't like the story progression.
Yeah.
I did like the tennis, but then there were all those other things about like certain modes you couldn't do and certain like, you couldn't tweak the rules in certain instances.
I think I liked it the most out of all of us.
Right.
I I enjoyed it. I liked the story mode fine. Like the story itself was dumb, but I liked that it was just these kind of little
missions.
Like they were just pretty self-contained. It was more like a challenge mode. More so than where it's like, yeah, win this game in this kind of objective or whatever, more so than being the kind of like RPG sort of thing that I think people wanted it to be, because there's obviously, when they say adventure mode, there's parallels to the great Game Boy Color version that they made that was like kind of a, not deep, but an actual RPG where you kind of explore the terrain and stuff. But yeah, the kind of the problem with the tennis game, and I think the same thing that they've done here, is that these tennis games, kind of the appeal is to have them be casual because it's a Mario game, but they kind of put in all this stuff that's like makes it just complicated enough that you can't really have a friend just pick it up and go, you just press A to hit the ball. Right. There's like all these like special shots and all this shit in it that just makes it like a little bit too complex for the casual person to just pick up and have fun with you with. And also isn't really, in terms of the mastering of it, it's not that rewarding overall.
No. Like it's not a simulator and it's not an easy open kind of.
They kind of sit somewhere in the middle where they try and put a bit of depth in, and the depth is still relatively shallow.
Yes.
And I think that's my biggest problem with Golf Super Rush, is that they've gotten rid of the kind of the classic way that you do the meter in a golf game. Is you set the distance you want to go, and then you set the power that you want to hit it at. There were kind of two things that you would hit A at the right time, and this gets rid of the second one.
Right.
You just do a timed thing once, and then on that second one, you're like using that to aim.
Yeah, yeah.
Or something.
Just to add curve.
Yeah, that's all it is.
Yeah.
I don't like that. I really don't like that.
The core golf in this is kind of boring, and then all of the extra modes around it are also boring.
Yeah.
That's the big problem with this game, is that it's boring, because that's Super Rush mode especially. I think the thing that the name is that. That's like the thing they're pushing a bit.
Mm.
It's fucking so bland and nothing. Like, it really is a shame of how.
So that's everyone tees off at the same time.
Yeah.
You are running between holes. You have a stamina gauge that depletes, which kind of makes it less fun.
And there's like sort of some pickups on the course that everyone's trying to get to. Like, there's hearts to refill your stamina gauge, and you've got a dash.
Yeah.
So you
there's coins.
Yeah.
I don't understand. I've played a bunch of the Rush mode. It seems like the adventure mode more than both of you guys. I know, Tommy, you've been pretty busy, and Nox, you don't like it.
Yeah. I've played a fair bit of the adventure mode,
Yeah. I think I've unlocked maybe four or five of the courses. I think five of the courses so far. The Rush, I don't understand what the rushing is about. Because, like, you're still winning or losing that hole or that course based on the amount of strokes it takes for you to hit the golf ball in.
Yes.
In the adventure mode, and then you can set it in the multiplayer so that it is like based on time only.
Time.
Or I think there's an overall score.
Right.
And then there's a time mode, but then the time mode is affected by how many strokes you took. But yeah, it's not clear.
That needs to have been worked out a bit more. And also that just like the running on foot and having the stamina
work.
It's like if it's meant to be a Mario Kart thing, have it be little golf buggies that you get into.
Absolutely.
That are like personalized, that look like the crazy Mario Kart designs, and have it be you're driving around between courses.
Because there's
and
nowhere
you can throw shells and all that sort of shit.
Other than so the dash gives you your own character's little animation of running, but that's all it is. It seemed like it was a power in the preview stuff, but you just and if you charge into someone, they'll kind of go and get like a seconds penalty because you're spinning around.
Essentially, though, it's like if you just run towards where you hit it and then you hit it, that's fine.
That's
no one's
all
really
you're being
gonna,
asked to do.
Yeah.
There's not really obstacles. There's not really any reason other than to go for the shortest possible path to your ball.
Yeah.
So there is
it eliminates any.
It just adds busy work.
Right.
Mm. I'd rather it just fade a transition. I'm there at the ball. Because the fun of golf, and I do like the golf in this game, and I like the Mario Golf games and the Mario Sports games.
Yeah.
Just for a mindless arcade style game that you can play while you're listening to a podcast, where it's not about progressing through a story and failing and, you know, trying again. It's just like, yeah, I'm going to try and get as good as I can at this sports game.
Yeah,
I
think, and it's, if you've only got half an hour and you just want to, and we should say we did a video about this. We've just played nine holes and we talked over the top of it. So if you want to see us actually playing the game and talking shit over the top of it, you can find that on our YouTube right now. And I agree. Towards the end of us playing that, I was like, yeah, this is the mode I think I'll settle into in this game.
Yeah.
This is kind of like a fun way to play it. But yeah, I just wish it was easier to have a friend over and go, you set your distance and then you hit the button twice. Once is the distance, the second one's the power. But instead there's like all this stuff of like, oh, you got to hold the, it's just too much to explain to someone simply and be able to have a fun game with them without them doing the wrong thing on every hole and being like, oh no, you actually have to do this.
Right. There's a bit of wind. There's like elevation is a factor. There's a button you can press to kind of look at those things.
Yeah.
But the interface is not laid out well. And even though they're simple concepts, once you get your head around them, the interface itself is really overwhelming. And so if you're playing it with someone, like you said, who isn't, like golf, with Wii Golf and stuff like that, or Wii Sports, the golf and that, is the point of that is that it's accessible for someone who isn't necessarily super video game literate.
Totally. Yep. It compensated for certain angles on shots. Like it helped you enough to literally pick up and play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's not even an option to really do that in this game, even though there are motion controls, which I was hoping I could play with my girlfriend who doesn't really play video games, but knows how to swing a club, and boy howdy do that. Oh, let me tell you, boys, it's a circus up here.
Bonking you over the head like you're Fred Flintstone.
Tennis had the same thing and had the motion control in it, and people thought like, oh, this will feel like the Wii Sports one. And it just didn't. It just felt...
Those Joy-Cons fucking suck.
Yeah.
That stuff.
I played...
jiggling all over the place.
Totally.
They're completely glitching out.
It is too precise for someone who's just trying to play it as a video game. I tried the motion controls just on like a few holes by myself and it...
Get a load of this cunt.
One nostril, the other nostril, and the urethra. So I thought it was going to be more fun than button controls.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't. It was a little bit harder to the point and like you just like had to relearn like, oh, I got to compensate for this. I got to figure like it just, it wasn't the simplistic arcade version of golf.
No.
Even with the motion controls.
I think
and
with
it
these...
isn't accurate enough to be a fun simulation version of it. Like it's just not worth it at all.
Yeah.
It just
with
feels
with the series, they, it feels like the 64 versions of these were so good. And it feels like with each one, they feel like they've got to keep like kind of tweaking the like the core like way that you just actually play the game. And it's like, no, that game already exists. It's a sport that already exists that they've worked out how to make video games of it that are really good.
Mm.
Just make the graphics flashier, add more content, add more courses, add more characters. It's fine to just have it be more or less the same thing with a few little quality of life things here and there, maybe add in an adventure mode. Because the adventure mode in this, you know, your criticisms of the story mode in Mario Tennis are valid, but I think that way of presenting an adventure mode is way better than what they do here.
Yes, I
agree.
You're
in like an open world where you walk around and you just walk from arrow to arrow and you're basically just doing these little challenges anyway.
You play as a me. You don't get to choose to play as a character.
I'd much rather have them have a crack at some dumb, overblown Mario story where there's like a haunted golf club or whatever.
Totally.
Yeah, it's not. It's just like, oh, you're a golf rookie. Come up through the golf ranks.
Yeah.
And
really slowly.
So slowly.
Really slowly.
Everyone has 100 tutorials for you at the start.
Yeah.
Then you got to go through 10 qualifying things. And like, it is a bad sign that, because my criticism of the story or adventure mode is like, A, the characters that they do have in there don't have much to say. They're all a bit boring. There's not too much personality to it. Like, you're running around this sort of golf town and talking to everyone about golf, but most of them
are kind of dull. Is just like blandly, you've got all these Mushroom Kingdom characters in this very straight-laced, blandly designed country club. And it's like, put some pizzazz on here. That's what's great about this world.
Yeah.
It's like, go for it. Make the, you know, make the country club
the golf club.
Make the country club a big toadstool that you're in or something, you know?
But so you've got those boring characters and then you're going from place to place to do these, like a qualifying round and then an actual round and then this round and then that round. And I was like, oh, this is so slow. And then I realized, wait, I'm just dreading playing more golf.
Yeah.
The problem with the adventure mode is that it's making you play the game. Like, and yeah. So it's a real big indictment for me on the thing as a whole package that the wrapping of the adventure mode is quite poor. But then the core game is just, to me at least, not interesting, because I think it is the thing, like you were saying, Tommy, where it is just that same game. Like, there isn't anything on top of it. It is so vanilla to the point of being flavorless.
But that's funny, because I feel completely the opposite. Like, that the more I've played of it, in like, I wanted to love the adventure mode, I wanted to love the super rush mode, mm-hmm. and then us just playing nine holes, I was like, oh yeah, this is what I want out of this game. I do like that core gameplay thing of golf. Like, you're right, there's not heaps to it. It is basically just like lining it up, looking at the wind. It's pretty simplistic in general, but that's kind of what I wanted out of this. And if they had some new courses that kind of look, you know, they've said they're going to add some, and they were pretty good with tennis. Like, they added a fair bit of stuff over time.
Right.
They're chucking in new characters every month, and it's all for free. Like, it's not paid. They just kind of drip feed stuff into it. So, yeah, if they've got a new Donk City course coming out, which could be really cool. But I mean, that stuff probably should just be in there from day one. But if they start to go a bit more wild with adding these courses in, and it's like, cool, a new one's dropped, 18 holes, fun, I'll play through that, then I'm happy enough with that. But I wish the adventure mode wasn't so annoying, and I wish it was easier to play casually with someone who doesn't own the game and know how to do it without going through a fucking boring ass tutorial.
I want to make clear, I like the golf in this game.
Right.
I really dislike the adventure mode, and there are nitpicks I have with just playing it, as playing the golf.
Mm.
But as a golf game, as an arcadey golf game, I think it's great. Like, I do have issues with some weird specific things with the game. Like, when you putt, it doesn't switch to an overhead shot to show you the ball going in.
Right.
And like, when you're...
It feels a little underbaked in some of that way.
When you're chipping it in from like the edge of the green, or like, you know, a couple of meters off the green, but you're aiming for the hole still, the indicator of like elevation and tilt and stuff just ends at the exact same distance that it would if you were on the green. So it's like, you can't judge that stuff even if you're really close to the hole. So like, playing the game itself is really good, except for these like issues that stop you from being able to get really good at it.
I think that's the thing with me, is that it's not arcadey, because there's a weird amount to it. But then it's also, it's not difficult at all.
It's not deep,
And it's a problem with golf games in general that I'm yet to see one where they figure out how to make it feel like how playing golf in real life where it's kind of guesswork skill.
You are using
built-in muscle memory skill.
Sure, like your depth perception, trying to judge angles and things like that, getting real precise with it.
And this has a fucking line and a dot of where it'll go, and it's pretty much right. And then if it's wrong, it's because it randomly goes off to the sides. It literally tells you in the tutorial stuff, if you hit it too hard, it'll randomly go off.
There's a little kind of shader at the top of the bar. But again, like, to your point, like, I think when these games have the two times that you have to push an action button, there is a bit more skill involved in that, because it's like you line it up and it's like, if you want to get that ball perfectly where you've aimed it to, you need to get this button press right twice in a row. And that when you have a game that does that successfully, which I feel like the Mario Golf 64 was, when you would get that muscle memory going and you would work those mechanics out, it felt so satisfying, because it felt like, oh, I'm getting good at this. Whereas this, it's like, you go for broke, and then it's just like a random element that's like, oh, sometimes your ball might just completely curve. It's like, well, it just makes it feel like, okay, I've just got to stop the ball before just below that bit, which isn't... Yeah.
I think that I just have a problem with this as a mechanic and a genre then because like, it doesn't feel like you are controlling anything other than a menu ever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, hitting the button to the right time, sure, that's a mechanic, but it's nothing like a sort of a translation of, like, a racing game. Yes, you're just pulling triggers and you're moving the stick, but
It feels more like you are driving a car.
Exactly. It translates to the thing that it is trying to emulate.
Right.
And this doesn't do that. I remember there being a Tiger Woods game on the Xbox where you use the right stick to kind of swing the golf club.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember that feeling pretty good.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it doesn't, of all of them, it doesn't really. Tennis is like you move and then you're hitting the button at the exact right time.
Right.
Which mirrors timing, like the reflexes. And,
right. Exactly. Yeah. The timing, it corresponds to something that you are doing.
Yeah.
And makes sense. But this is like, feels like a separate thing that they've put on top of golf paint.
Yeah.
Mm. Does that make sense?
Yeah. No, so no,
it's just not a satisfying game on a core level to me. And then the stuff on top, almost none of it has worked.
Yeah. Mm. The Battle Rush, I played like one round of, and it's okay. Like it's pretty, it goes for it a bit more as like an extra mode, which I think is to the detriment of Super Rush.
Mm.
We all feel like it doesn't quite go far enough.
Mm.
So it's basically a big arena with, I think, like 9 holes in it. And you're all running around the arena playing golf at the same time. And if someone gets their ball into a hole, the hole disappears and it's the first person to get three. It's like capture the flag kind of golf.
Right,
but it's got more hazards like bombs roll down and will, you know, throw your ball over the other side of the arena and you're all getting your special moves going off at the same time and all that sort of stuff. So it feels a bit more like that sort of chaotic Mario Kart-ish sort of thing that you want out of it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've only played the one of them and thought, oh, that was pretty fun. But I don't know if it's got like the real staying power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Playing the standard golf with you guys for that video was fun.
Yeah. And I think that
video is a lot of fun. So again, you can watch that on our YouTube channel.
Yeah.
But like beyond the thing that almost every game can get away with, which is multiplayer is innately fun.
Mm.
Just not a bit of a flop.
Yeah.
A bogey.
Yeah, we should grade the game based on that. I think, yeah, my issues with it are philosophical because like Super Rush, it's like, it's golf. It's meant to be a slow, meditative game about precision and judging the elements and making it into a race that is almost in itself pointless because you just have to run forwards. Stupid. Battle mode, not interested in. Again, like I don't want to battle golf. I want to play normal golf.
Even if you did, they haven't done them well as a problem because I was interested in those and they just didn't actually figure out a way to do those modes.
Yeah, and I think if you added... Oh, the other thing is if you're playing against the CPU and you're just playing normal golf, you can't change the difficulty like the, you know, like in Smash or whatever, you can make them harder characters to play against. So it takes away that. It becomes how well can you play this course that you probably played heaps of times if you enjoy this game.
Yeah.
And just look at the wind gauge. you know, it's like, and it's a shame because I want it to be good and I want to play it a lot, but I feel like I'm probably going to get sick of it quite quickly, which was the same with tennis. I think I enjoyed the core stuff, but all of the trappings were just like, this is kind of more annoying than if it was just really boring.
Right.
And also another big problem, like I'm pretty happy to just go, okay, I don't like all those other modes. I'm just going to pick this up from time to time and just play 9 holes of one of these courses. But to unlock all of them, you have to play, you guessed it, the adventure mode.
Right, which is a slog.
You don't?
No. You can play challenge mode, which is when you play a course and you're just trying to get the best score possible.
So and if that you unlocks like, the new courses?
Yeah, if you do like 18 holes on fucking Rocky Ridge or whatever it was called, then you get... you may have to get a birdie or like a eagle or whatever under.
Okay. Yeah.
But that unlocked at least one of the courses for me.
Probably more interesting than the adventure mode, unfortunately. Yeah. It's a shame because there's better golf games and there's better party games.
Mm.
And this was... So this is just... I don't know what the case to play this game still, over something else is.
Yeah, if you want a golf game that feels good to play and has like a fun little adventure mode thing in it, Golf Story.
Yes,
it's
absolutely.
It's a very different aesthetic, but it's got all that stuff. It's got like dumb little story things that you're doing. It's got like
that's true
holes where you're like not you're basically hitting the golf ball and stuff, but you're not playing a round of golf. You're playing against someone who's playing ultimate frisbee and this kind of stupid stuff.
For it being a top-down 16-bit, you know, SNES style game, the precision of the golf is much higher than it is in Mario Super Rush.
Yeah. Like, Desert Golf. That 2D side-scrolling iPhone one, same deal.
Right.
Good time. Yeah. It's like infinite golf.
But yeah, also, yes, has like hit it onto this island and this island. And like it, Golf Story has the fun, creative, arcadey stuff and a story.
Yep.
And precise golf. So
it's a bit, it's always a bit bleak when, yeah, a studio that has clearly been massively influenced by this style of game goes and makes their own version of it that is just so much better than what that original studio can come up with now. Yep. Because, like, yeah, what people really loved those Game Boy Color RPG modes that they had, and you think about, you imagine that, but in 3D with more going on and a whole game built around it, and they just twice now, they just haven't been able to deliver on that, and it should be a hole in one.
Yeah, it's weird for a Mario game not to have that personality that it needs for that stuff. Yeah. It's like the Mario picture stuff is there.
Yeah.
Waluigi looks funny.
That's it. I mean, they've put so much effort into, like, it's cool that all the characters have their own little costumes. There's like a cool little cinematic thing when you first turn on the game of all of them running around playing that battle golf mode that they've written like a little, you know, little caper thing around.
Yeah.
Like that being the first thing that played, I thought, this is pretty high level of production. This is cool. And then you go into the adventure mode and it just looks like shit.
Yeah.
It looks so bland.
Oh, so many, like, the special moves that you get as we were playing.
They're kind of nothing-y,
It's impossible. It doesn't tell you before you do it what it's going to do. And then when you do it, you're like, I think it made it land in a certain spot. But
the animations are great. Like the
There are tutorials and stuff in the How to Play section, but that's, like, badly laid out. It shouldn't be like that.
Yeah.
But, anyway, if you just want – if you just want to fuck around on the courses and you do like that – core thing of playing golf in a video game, this is fine for that.
I reckon if you're like the kind of person who buys Mario Kart on a Switch and probably doesn't bother to like unlock all the, you know, if you're like, oh, this is the game that I'll play when mates come over for beers, this is a fine version of that for golf, I reckon.
Yeah, but I think we all feel like it could have been a lot better, but that's not to say that I think it's terrible. Like, I probably still will fuck around with it a little bit, but yeah, it's I think it's overall a bit underwhelming, but yeah.
If you wanted to play the original Mario Golf, but you didn't have a Nintendo 64, a way that you could play that game is by using emulation on a Windows-based personal computer.
Yeah, that's true.
I want to hear what it's like.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Stop holding out.
Well, I'll tell you what it's like.
We lost our virginity years ago, but we're still desperate to hear what it's like.
I'm your little cousin.
I want to live through you. I'm an old man.
Yeah.
So far, a lot of the experience has been troubleshooting.
Welcome to PC.
Very frustrating. So, yeah, got it all set up and then still kind of doing stuff with moving house. So I haven't had a great deal of time to kind of sit down and properly dig in. The internet at our new house is appalling. Mm. So it was a full 2 days of just leaving things on to download.
Yeah.
But, yeah, what have I got? I've got Forza Horizon and, yeah, getting that off Game Pass, loading it up and it being my same save from the Xbox.
Yeah.
Haven't unpacked the Xbox yet. It's all just there in the cloud from when it was still connected at my old house. Great.
Yeah.
Not having to fuck around with, you know, getting it out and uploading the data or whatever. Immediately noticed that it looks so much crisper and nicer. I've got Persona 4 Golden sitting there ready to do, but I'm a little hesitant about going in because of how much of a time suck the previous one was. I don't know if I'm ready to give over basically my entire life again.
Mm-hmm.
Although, you know, for anyone outside of Australia who's vaccinated and living their life, it feels like in Melbourne we are on the precipice of another lockdown. So maybe that'll be the point that I hit the trigger and honk into another 100-hour JRPG.
You never saw it coming.
I wish that I had kept, and I guess I can buy an Xbox controller, but having an Xbox controller to play PC games seems like the way to go. I have like a DualShock 4. Sometimes I'll plug in my my DualSense. The Nintendo Switch Pro controller seems to be the one that like automatically syncs up and maps its controls best so far.
An Xbox controller does it way. That will immediately just go like, yeah, I'm easy.
Yeah.
Well, you would think
I have had issues with that specifically with Persona 4 Golden. So yeah.
With the Xbox controller or
with me not having an Xbox controller.
Well, it is great. Until the first day I was using it, hit the pair button, got it synced up with the PC. playing there wirelessly. Great.
Yeah.
Next time I turn it on, it's synced, the light's on, it's showing up in the Bluetooth thing, go into the games, it's just not responding. Tried a couple of different games, didn't work. And then today, going from that to now when I push the pair button, it doesn't even show up in the list of Bluetooth
stuff. Of the Series S ones, or is this from the Xbox One?
This is from the Xbox One.
Because they don't have Bluetooth.
It does.
Are you sure?
Yep.
I'm pretty sure those old controllers with the micro USB thing don't have Bluetooth in them.
What are they using? Infrared?
It's like 2.4 gigahertz RF thing.
It worked, but it worked for one session.
Was it definitely not plugged in?
Yes.
Okay.
Mm. I looked this up. There's, I think, a first model from that console that doesn't.
Right.
And then the later one, which I have.
Because Elite controller didn't have Bluetooth either. That's the thing that I...
Okay. Right.
So you need one of those little USB dongles for those ones.
No, it definitely does. Like, it was showing up.
Okay.
It showed up and it worked for a day.
Sure.
And then
you realize you are using a Windows personal computer where stuff just decides to stop working for no reason.
Yeah, so, and then the second time it was showing up and it was...
I'm in troubleshooting mode, cancelling out things because this is... what you have to do all the time for the rest of your life.
It was, the second time it was like synced and it was showing up in the list of devices but just not responding on the game. And then now it's just not showing up, so I've just using a cord now.
Does it have enough battery power in
Change the batteries, I also, so I started playing Half-Life Alyx off the recommendation of you guys. Bought the PC Link cable for the Oculus.
Right.
Wanted to do it properly. And it just keeps like... 5 minutes in, it'll just drop out. It'll just be like, oh, we've lost connection to the PC, which for something where it's already a bit like, you know, you've got a cord in there, so you're sort of having to be careful of that.
Mm.
And you know, the level of immersion in that game is so great that to then have it just drop out and, you know, you've then got to, you know, I've kind of had to shuffle back away from the desk a little bit. You've got a headset on, you've got the Move controller strapped in, sort of like take all that stuff off. Swivel yourself back to the desk to click the button to... I can't work out why it is dropping out. I've got the high-speed cable.
Yeah.
It's like a new thing that's got these like great graphics cards in it. It's the Quest 2 is like still pretty new.
Yeah. The USB thing in your computer is probably the issue.
Yeah.
Like the USB hub, they've all got different speeds and shit. I don't know how to tell you how to look it up.
I bought a great... little keyboard, a little 60% size keyboard, little white ducky one, and it's great mechanical keyboard.
Little duckies on it.
Yeah, it's little ducks.
Nice.
Quacking.
We quacking here. I customized quacking the keys, clacking away.
Yeah.
But then for some reason, and obviously, you know, I looked this up as well, it won't turn on with the PC some of the time because the USB port, just the driver is set to like power switch off. I fixed it, but it's like, for a month, I was like,
that'd be it if it's every 5 minutes. So power settings on power fucking settings. Windows, it acts like every computer's a fucking laptop.
Yeah.
And like you need to manage the power. And so it will automatically shut off power to USB's drive sometimes.
Okay.
But then, it could be that. You can change that in power settings, but then it might also be that your USB hub doesn't have enough power anyway.
Right. It could be the power supply itself. Yeah.
Yeah. Perhaps the motherboard isn't compatible, but put it out on the USB power hub's route.
God
could be. Group number, serial bus.
Too much Wi-Fi, like too many devices using Wi-Fi in the area. And it could be a million things.
It is very annoying to like actually get it running and be in the game. And you kind of think, great, well, we're on here.
Yeah.
And then it drop out because, what I've been able to play of that game is fantastic. And I say this as someone who never played the original two Half-Lives. Right, I have no Half-Lives.
Yeah.
I have no
Half-Lives.
I have no attachment to that series at all. But it just stands alone as a, like, it gives you a lot of context. It's like, Dad's been kidnapped. Mm-hmm. Got to go save him. And all the VR stuff. It's the first time I've ever liked a first-person VR thing where you are transporting to like your standing positions, playing something seated and doing that, playing stuff like that on the Quest. I couldn't just really get into it for whatever reason. But also noticing the extra, you know, just playing something with that headset on that graphically looks so good when stuff on the Quest, you know, the Quest isn't super powerful in terms of what it can render. And that's the other thing is like putting it on. You've already got this cable there that feels a little bit like, I hope I don't bump this and knock it out and, you know, you kind of, you've got the Move controllers on.
You're physically aware of what you're
physically
doing.
You're physically aware, and everything feels so precarious. It's right. Like, oh, is this gonna work? Is the cable gonna drop out? And then being able to hear the PC itself just working absolutely overtime to render this thing, it's like, fuck, something's gonna go. This is so precarious.
That's the feeling at all times.
Yeah, yeah.
It's great.
Oh God, what have I done?
It's like having to fix your car as you're driving it. Like being in a Mad Max world where you're like, and there's something after you. You got to just sink yourself into it and go like, half of this is going to be me looking at old forums from 2009 that are no longer relevant probably, but it's the only time someone's done it. And then they'll just comment, fixed it, and they won't tell you how.
Solved.
But I think it's a bit of like the same feeling of like I love assembling furniture. I love getting IKEA stuff. I've been doing a lot of that this week. I bought a couch on Facebook Marketplace yesterday that was sold as if it was, you know, just ready to go, and then it turned up flat packed, and it was like, oh my God, I've been doing so much of this lately.
Off a Facebook Marketplace?
Yeah.
That's fucked.
That's where you go to find a full couch.
I know. But anyway, that sense
that's
of...
That's pretty funny.
It's very frustrating, and it's a bit of work, and it eats into your day, but that feeling of like getting to the end of it and going, made this table. It's a bit the same with that troubleshooting, like going through and finding out, oh, it's the driver, and installing it, and then it works. It's like,
I agree.
A little task that I got a big green check and I solved a problem for the day.
I agree as well, but that table will also stop working again in 3 months.
Totally.
You'll just get home and one day it'll be in the flat pack again and you'll be like, what?
It is like building I'm putting together a 57 Chevy in my garage and then driving it and then putting it back together a week later because it's hard.
Oh, well, what the fuck's that noise?
But I love it. Like that's, you know, my day job for so many years was like working in digital production.
Mm.
I like problem solving on computers, and
it is, but
it is rewarding when you fix it.
Yeah, with video games, like I've just been doing so much moving recently. I had to get up yesterday and do a whole bunch of stuff, and then I had like a couple of hours in the afternoon where I was like, you know what, I haven't sat down in front of the PC and just really gone for it yet. Got my 2 hours blocked out here. I'm just going to, you know, I've just dabbled on it for like 10 minutes at a time and been setting stuff up and downloading. Sat down, and then it was just like 2 hours of trying to get these fucking controllers to work, and this stuff, it's just like, ah, fuck, that's so that's so annoying. I just want to play a bad golf game. At least, I mean, Mario Golf has a lot of problems, but at least, you know, you sit down in front of the console, you fucking know what you're getting. An average game. Nothing's going to get in the way of that. You're going to be thoroughly kind of underwhelmed and disappointed, but in another way, in a way that you signed up for.
Yeah. I hate him, but he's dependable. So we're going to stay together for the kids.
Half-Life Alyx, Toadette. It is one of the greatest video game experiences I've had in my entire life. It's worth it.
You'll fix this USB shit. It'll work. Maybe the cable's fucked. Who knows?
Get virtual desktop. Do that.
What's that?
It's when it's wireless and you can connect to your PC.
Well, and the
Quest... I tried doing Airlink and it didn't seem to work very well on my home internet.
It doesn't rely on the internet speed.
It relies on the router speed.
Yeah.
I have a modem that has a SIM card in it.
Okay. I don't know if that's...
It can do 5 gigahertz.
Oh, well, then it should be fine.
Okay.
It should be fine.
But it depends. Different ones that can do 5 gigahertz have different bit rates and shit.
Right.
You've got to... Set aside a weekend and really fucking settle in.
Yeah.
Get your big coffee.
Yeah.
Get your forum threads ready to go. Get your big
khaki
pants. If
I plug my modem directly into the computer.
It will help. You need to do that.
That will help? Okay.
Yeah. You need to have it connected over.
Okay.
Yeah.
But also, once I got... I downloaded virtual desktop to the Oculus. I set it up and synced it with my PC. I haven't used a USB cable since to play games on the PC.
Okay.
I just use it
with
wirelessly.
Okay.
Standing in the middle of the room, the PC's over there. You're a bit further away from the extremely loud fan. For me, that is the perfect setup for playing VR.
Did you guys
games.
Stand or sit when you were playing Alyx?
Stand.
Yes.
But I played it on a Rift, like a plugged-in one.
Yeah.
So I played it with the cable and that was fine. You kind of just develop a sense of where the cable is.
Your
body adjusts to it. And the cable will give you a higher quality image.
Yeah.
Right. But I think for me, knowing
I'm
standing in the center of the room, I can bend, I can do all that stuff, move around, no worries.
Mm-hmm.
And it never stopped working. It hasn't had any sync issues or anything like that.
Yeah, once you get it figured out, that Airlink and the virtual desktop, either one of those is pretty good.
Yeah.
What about to piss? Do you guys sit or stand?
I go either way. I don't have like, there's a lot of other people pissing in my apartment building. So I have to be careful. So sometimes I'm like sitting while pissing.
Yeah.
But it can interfere. It's called a sword fight.
The streaming quality gets affected.
It really does. I get a bit nervous. The Wi-Fi is like, oh, I don't know about this. I don't have the best range.
Yeah.
Other guys might have bigger range than me. What if they look? But for real, like that, you get compression and stuff with like compression artifacts, and like it goes a bit weird with the wireless thing. So since you've got the cable anyway,
I just need to figure out getting that to work.
And then you've got the battery life to worry about.
Battery life is real.
I love technology.
It's great. So I got Loop Hero as well. I haven't started that yet. But yeah, what else would you guys recommend? I kind of, you know, you get on, it's funny because you get on Steam and you go, oh, a whole new world. And then the front page of Steam is like, Cyberpunk, Red Dead Redemption 2. Yeah, it's like, you have all these.
Yeah. That's the other thing. You've basically bought a difficult Xbox, which, but also it is good for other stuff. And I think the thing you've missed out on is a bunch of PC-only games that happened in between there. Maybe that's the thing that you need to be exposed to.
Yeah. I think I'm ready for the next. I mostly just want the, like, I want to wild out with the new Xbox stuff at the highest setting and whatever. But, yeah, I'm mostly excited for... Yeah, those cool little indies that, you know, maybe come out on the Switch or whatever, but, you know, they take 2 or 3 years for that to happen. Yeah. Like being on the ground floor of like those kind of smaller experiences like that is what I'm most into. So, if you're a listener, if you've got any good recommendations, Loop Hero sounds like a very good example of that.
Yep.
Something that's something that a lot of people seem to be loving that looks like the sort of thing that will inevitably come out on other stuff.
Yeah, you'd think so.
But probably not for a little while.
Yeah. I mean, I think you need to go back to some of the classics, some point-and-click games where you're literally pointing and clicking. It's so much more fun to play. Even replaying Kentucky Route Zero on the PC, because that's how I played it originally. It was like, oh, yeah, this is how it's meant to be played. But, like, I don't know, you're like a Diablo 2, you know, like, I think classic PC games.
Yeah.
Okay.
See if you enjoy, like, Civilization.
Okay.
Yep. Download, you know.
Deus Ex 1.
Yes.
Turn of the century shit that was like when there was a big gap between those like consoles of the time and what a PC could
Half-Life
do.
Half-Life 1?
Yeah, Half-Life 2. Oh, Half-Life Black Mesa is like a remake of 1 with like more modern graphics. You could play that.
Like one of the good Sim Cities or City Skylines, something like that. Something that's like just annoying to play.
Oh, yeah, I started playing Two Point Hospital on the Switch and loved it, but it is that like moving around a cursor with a joystick is a pain.
On Steam, there's a lot of games like this, but one of the best ones is the Please Sir Give Me Back My Panties series. You'll see a lot of games of the same type, but there's some that are better and some that are worse.
Okay.
That's true, yeah.
If
you can send me your big list of your personal recommendations.
How big is your hard drive? Because it might not send.
And how's the security on the hard drive? Is it encrypted? Because you don't want that to be falling
into.
How
big of a magnet did Rob Smelburn give you to run over the top of? There are a lot of games like that on Steam now. It's really weird. Yeah, you see them all the time.
Always in like the daily most popular. It's fucked.
Yeah.
But then apart from that, you know, like get some editing software. Get fucking Photoshop. Get like for the stuff that we do, having Premiere, having Photoshop, Audition, it's just great on a PC.
Having
a nice big screen and a nice mouse and keyboard.
It was streaming. I don't think this will be out yet, but we did a little session of recording a few Operation Tango videos in a row.
That'll be out for patrons.
Where I was watching you guys play and I'm recording, watching on this new monitor instead of hunched over a laptop at my kitchen table.
Yeah.
It was like, oh yeah, I feel like I'm actually in the control room.
Yeah,
watching these two spy cunts.
Yeah.
Not be able to work out numbers.
Yeah, that is a fun series. Fuck, that game gets tense.
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah. You get that. That's like, if you're on our Patreon, you get one video every week, a week earlier than everyone else. And then we do the other videos, one of which I think is going to be us showing Tommy around the world of personal computing.
Yep. Yeah.
We'll figure out when that's coming out and what form that'll take. But there's that Mario Rush one up now.
Yes.
Mario Golf Rush one, Super Rush.
Yep.
And plenty more over at patreon.com. A brand new podcast every week. Nintendo 69.
Yeah,
and we haven't really talked about it, have we? Operation Tango. That we're 80% of the way through the
66%?
Game?
Yeah.
Something like that.
So we've done 4 missions out of 6.
66.
Fun game.
Yeah, it is.
And I say that as someone who's just been watching two people play it. But
perfect for a video series.
Great concept. It really is. You're communicating over voice chat.
Yep.
One of you can see one thing, the other one can see the other, and you're having to like share info to hack computers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We'll have that wrapped up soon, so maybe we'll talk about it on the podcast once we've finished playing through it.
Yeah.
Sort of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, until then, we're doing heaps of stuff. The YouTube channel.
So much stuff.
The Patreon. Yeah. I'm streaming on Twitch. You can see all the links in the episode description for all of this stuff.
Yeah.
Gabagool, still a recently launched podcast.
Sopranos, watch it with us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tommy, what are you doing?
Little Dum Dum Club.
Little Dum Dum Club.
Yeah. Hey,
been going for quite a while.
Yeah.
10 years and going. Have I mentioned the Patreon?
Go to the YouTube channel.
Yeah.
We're over there. We're active.
Get on all that stuff.
Extremely active.
Yeah. Filthycasuals.com.au.
Yeah.
The Patreon.
Yep.
The YouTube channel.
Yep.
The podcast.
The podcast every week.
The bread and butter.
The bread.
That's it.
The butter. We can sell them to you on breadandbutter.filthycasuals.com.au.
Yep.
I think the website is coming up as not secure at the moment, so we need to fix that.
No, it's fixed.
Okay, good.
It's only secure half a day. Again.
They email me and they go, you got to update your SSL. And I go, okay, I'll do it now.
Well, I went there during that time and I was like, oh no, we've been hacked.
We've been hacked.
We're safe now. Mm-hmm. The Patreon, the YouTube channel, it's all there.
Yeah. Yeah, check all that stuff out, guys. Thanks very much for listening. And we'll see you next time, as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
The Patreon, the YouTube channel. I'm on Twitch.
Yeah.
Do it all again. I'll play the same audio again.
Yeah. Put it in a few times.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.